Have a page. We're on Perek Lamed Zayin, and the top it's 92. 168? 168 at the bottom. Okay, we started this Perek a few weeks ago. We're going to start it quickly and just get to where we're up to. Okay, he says like this. In Tachlis HaShleimus HaZeh SheYimeisim Mashiach Tachis HaMeisim, before, the Alter Rebbe just explained that the ultimate revelation of godliness will be when Mashiach comes, and especially when the resurrection of the dead. He says, what causes that to happen, which is Gili Erdin Tzav Baruch Hu Be'el HaMazah HaGashmi, which is the revelation of godliness in this world, Tolu B'maseinu V'Avidaseinu Kozma Meshach HaGolus, is dependent on our actions, we learned already, on the duration of Golus. Ki HaGeirim Schar Mitzvah, because what causes the reward of the mitzvah, is a mitzvah ba'atzim, the mitzvah itself. Why? Ki ba'asiyose, because when a person does a mitzvah, mam shecha adam, the person brings down, gili erdin tzav baruch hu, the revelation of God, mo maila lamata, from higher to lower, leslabish begashmias eilam hazeh, to dress into this physical world, bedover shayetchila, into something that initially was tachas memshalas klipas nega, which was under the jurisdiction and the power and the life of klipas nega. I'm going to explain this now at length, because this is a fundamental concept in Chassidus that needs to be understood properly. When you have a little bit we discussed in the previous parak, when the Alter Rebbe mentioned, when you speak about higher and lower, when it comes to godliness, it doesn't mean higher up there and lower down here. Okay? Gan Eden is not 100 miles up, and Gehenna, hell, is not 100 miles down. Okay? You're talking about spiritual concepts with physical measurements. That doesn't make sense. Okay? Like we learned then. Somebody has a deep head, nobody's going to say they have a 10-foot deep head. Or somebody has a big heart, nobody's going to say their heart is 10 feet big. Okay? It's figuratively speaking. Depth of intellect is measured not with inches and feet and yards, it's measured with differences, IQ, whatever you want to measure it with. Okay? When you're talking about spiritual and physical, higher and lower means, and I'm putting it in very simple, not even, I wouldn't say coarse language, but very simplistically put. Picture a light. Okay? And then you have a covering over the light that dims the light. Now another cover, and another cover, and another cover. After many, many covers, you don't even see that there's a light there. Okay? Now, as far as the light is concerned, there is no difference whether it has zero covers, one cover, 10 covers, there's no difference. If you are hiding behind a curtain, okay, and you have one cover and another cover and another cover and 1,000 covers, 1,000,000 covers, whatever, there is no difference as far as the person who is hiding is concerned. He is there the same. The only difference is to the onlookers, to the people looking, do you see him or don't you see him? The more coverings you have, the less you see him. The less coverings you have, the more you see him. Okay? This is what it means with godliness. Hashem is all over the world. There is no difference. Hashem created the world in a way that he covered himself. He concealed himself. Concealment after concealment after concealment, to such an extent that it gets to a point when you look out and you don't see God at all. Not because God is not there, because God hid himself from us, not from himself. The person behind the curtain is not hidden. Hashem hid himself that we can't see him. The more concealments of godliness there is, the more darkness there is, so to speak, i.e. evil. Now, in evil, there's two levels of evil, Torah says. When we speak evil in Hasidic terminology, it is not the Webster definition of evil. In Perek Vav, the Alter Rebbe explained, the definition of evil is something which is not openly holy. Something which is not openly holy is evil. But there's two levels of evil. There's a level of evil that's called klipas noiga. Klipas noiga, the word noiga, we say it in davening every Shabbos in Kelodin. Noiga means a shine, a ray. Evil is called klipa. Klipa literally means the shell, the peel of the fruit. Okay? What do you do with the peel of the fruit? It protects the fruit and you throw it out. It's evil. It's bad. Klipas noiga means a level of evil, but there is a ray of good in it. The second level of evil is, it is total evil. There is no level of good in it whatsoever. Simple English.
One second, it doesn't have good, or it doesn't have good that we can reveal.
The expression in Chassidus is Ein Bohem Toif Klal. But let me first finish this. If we finish this and I'm bored, I'll answer this point. Okay. I know, I probably won't.
What was the name of it? The first one was Klipa Noiga.
Klipas Noga. Noga means steins. That's the word he uses here. And then you have something which is called Shalosh Klipas HaTemeis, the three levels of evil. Now let me explain this in simple English. An apple. Is an apple holy? No. Therefore, an apple is called evil. Klipa. Right? But an apple is not forbidden to eat. An apple could be eaten if you eat it with a bracha and you eat it for the right purposes. You are able to take the godliness that's in the apple and separate it, so to speak, from the evil of the apple, and that good becomes elevated to holiness. And that's why in Hebrew, things which are permitted by Torah law is called mutar, permissible. Things which are forbidden by Torah law is called asur, which in Hebrew means forbidden. But if you notice in Hebrew, mutar and asur does not only mean permissible and forbidden. We say matir asurim, he unties the bond. Okay, a prisoner is called asur, he's bound. Mutar means untied, also means bound. Okay? Why is an apple permissible to eat? Because the holiness of Hashem, which is in the apple, is not bound and tied to evil. It's loose. And therefore, when you eat the apple properly, you elevate that spark of Kedusha, of holiness that's in the apple, you elevate it to Kedusha. And he's going to explain in this parak, you make the apple mamish holy. You elevated it from a neutral level of evil to holiness. Something like pig, that the Torah forbids, means the godliness, everything has godliness, and if not, it can't exist. The godliness that's in the pig is so bound to evil that even if somebody will take a piece of chazer, make a brach on it, eat it for the right purposes to serve God, and with the power of the pig, he goes and serves God. The godliness that was in that pig is never elevated. Because it's not elevatable. Excuse my incorrect English. It's not possible to be elevated because the godliness is so concealed and so hidden that it's bound to evil, it's tied to the evil, you can never elevate it. Unless Mashiach comes, is going to happen, Or a person does such a level of tshuva that the sin becomes a mitzvah. But that's not normal way of doing things. So basically like this. When a person takes a piece of paper, okay, a piece of paper, it's not holy. Correct? Piece of paper is not holy. So it's clip. If it's not holy, it's evil. Right? But this piece of paper, you were able to print a sefer on it, a holy book on it. Right? What happens to this paper now that holiness is written on it? It's holy. If it falls on the floor, you have to pick it up and kiss it. Right? You're not allowed to put it on the floor. That means you elevated klipas noiga, this neutral, it's called neutral level of evil. It is able to be elevated, and that's the job of the Jew. The job of the Jew is to reveal the godliness in the physical world, making the physical world holy. So therefore, if this plastic is used as a table which is used to serve Hashem, you elevated the plastic to Kedusha. The chairs, the carpet, the air, the whatever it is. Okay? So what's this game, so to speak, called world? Hashem made a world that he hid himself in. Not from himself, he hid from us. Okay, that's the level of evil that Hashem created in the world. Two levels of evil. Now Hashem says, you know what I want you to do? Like we said, hide and go seek. Hashem says, I want you to reveal my holiness that exists in the physical world. When a person does a mitzvah with a physical piece of wool, you make tzitzis out of it. You take a physical lemon, so to speak, and you make an esrig out of it. Or some meat that you eat for Shabbos, you know, for the sake of Shabbos and all that. What you are actually doing is revealing godliness that's in the world. Now, he said before, what is the ultimate purpose of the coming of Mashiach? That godliness will be revealed all over the world. That even the physical objects of the world will see godliness. That's what he said Mashiach is all about, right? What's causing that revelation to happen when Mashiach comes? Our mitzvahs now that we do, by taking the physical world and making it holy by doing mitzvahs with it, or even not mitzvahs. If a person works, okay, you have a job, rare, but let's say you have a job, and you do the job the way God wants you to do it. In other words, no cheating, no lying, and Shabbos is Shabbos, and you know everything, and the business is for the sake of making a living, to be able to live like a Jew, that everything in the business is elevated to holiness. You eat food, okay, for the sake of being able to serve Hashem, you elevate the food like just like sacrifice. So anytime a person does a mitzvah, as he's going to explain, with permissible objects, you're actually, you know what you're doing? You're removing the covers that God hid himself with. Right? God hid himself behind all these coverings. You're actually removing the coverings, and what you're accomplishing is that you're revealing godliness. What?
Okay, so maybe a funny question, but let's say someone paints a picture of an apple, like you go to a museum, and it's like an amazing replica of an apple. Is that a little bit like a waste of what it could have really done in its existence?
When we're talking about serving God, it doesn't only mean in the physical objects. I'll give you an example. You said art, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody is blessed, not all people are artists, as we know. Mm-hmm. A person who is blessed with a talent of art, and it's very interesting, the Rebbe always demanded from them, let's say, non-religious people who were artists and then they became religious, mm-hmm. and they wanted to drop it all, mm-hmm. or music, or art, or whatever it may be, the Rebbe would never allow them to give up the talent. What the Rebbe wanted is, use your artistic talent for positive things. No, Chaim Potok, from the older people in the 60s. He wrote The Chosen, The Promise, My Name is Asher Lev. Chaim Potok.
He's the guy who made Hasidic Jews
popular. Do you have that book here?
By the way, in the 60s he wrote The Promise and The Chosen. Anytime any Chabadnik went to speak for any group in Long Island, New Jersey, Connecticut, the first question the audience asks, what do you think about the book? Because it talks about two kids, two brothers, okay, whatever. He once wrote a book pretty negative about Chabad. My Name is Asher Lev. Depicted Chabad.
No,
he wasn't even religious.
It's got a funny name, it starts with an L, but it's Chabad. Okay. I read that when I was like a 10 years old.
Okay, anyway, he once came to the Rebbe's Fabrengen. It was a weekday Fabrengen, he came to the Rebbe's Fabrengen. It was interesting, the Rebbe spoke a whole talk that when God blesses a person with a talent, they have to make sure to utilize the talent in a positive way. In other words, rather than writing negativity, Hashem blesses a person with a talent, you could do positive art, negative art. Okay? Art is also a form of serving Hashem. And by the way, it's not only the physical object. If a person has a talent of art, writing, speaking, music, whatever the talent of the person may be, right? They have their work, so to speak, in serving Hashem, is to utilize, just like our mitzvah is to utilize the world for Kedusha, the physical world for Kedusha, the same thing applies to the person's talents and body to utilize for Kedusha. Okay? If a person is blessed with a talent of music, just like we could do good or bad, you can use music in a negative way, you can use music in a positive way. When a person uses music in a positive way to influence people, let's say, to do a mitzvah or something, that music becomes holy. That writing becomes holy. That art becomes holy. That whatever it may be becomes holy. Because, again, what does holiness mean? Removal of the concealments of God. Right? The evil is because there's a lot of concealments of God, a lot of covers. Kedusha means you remove the covers and you reveal the godliness that's in it.
And how about for the person who's looking at the apple, the painting, are they also in a certain sense, even by looking at it and saying, wow, look how Hashem made such a beautiful world. And the
that is called serving God.
That's also in a certain sense?
Yes. Yeah. But a lot depends on the work. Remember I mentioned, I think it was talking in this class, somebody once came to the Rebbe, a person who wasn't from. And he asked the Rebbe, why does God make life so difficult? Why does God... And the Rebbe had a certain knack. He made you answer your own question. You asked the Rebbe a question, and he made you answer your own question. So the Rebbe asked him, what do you do? What do you do for a living? He says, I'm an artist. What do you draw? He draws landscaping. Mountains and oceans and grass. So the Rebbe said to him, how long does it take you to work on a painting? He says, a few years, whatever it is. And how much do you get for the painting? The guy says, it depends how much work. Somebody get 5,000, 10,000, it depends how good the work is. So the Rebbe said to him, I don't understand something. If you take a camera, take a picture of the landscape, it's to perfection. So the Rebbe said, how much do you get for a photo? $5, $10, So the Rebbe said, I don't understand. The photo is picture perfect, and you get $5. Your painting is nowhere near as perfect as the picture, and yet you get $5,000? It doesn't make sense. So the guy said to the Rebbe, come on. You know how much work went into this. This is a snapshot, and this is years of work. So the Rebbe said to him, you just answered your question. Why Hashem made life difficult? Because the more work you do, the more reward you get. If it'd be easy, it'd be like a picture, you get $2 for it, $5 for it. When you draw the painting, right, you get... So anything... You know, the previous Rebbe once told somebody, very interesting, the Friedrich Rebbe once told somebody, right, this is my father, said that sometimes you could bring people closer to Yiddishkeit, he's talking about kids, by playing a baseball game with them more than by even teaching them in the classroom. Because this is academic and this is real life. When they see that you play, like wearing your yarmulke and your tzitzis and you play like a Jew and you're fair and all that, that can create a bond between the teacher and the student that the class can't do. The classroom can't create such a bond than the teacher on a social level doing things with the kids. All of that is called serving God. That baseball game became holy. That game became holy because it's utilized for the service of Hashem. And it's something which is permissible to do.
So nobody knows really what's more, as far as like when you say the apple making a bracha, or the person using their talent to paint the apple. Could we say that it's...
What's more important?
Bracha, to have the bracha on the apple, or to use it for Rosh Hashanah, or whatever? Or
not necessarily. We don't know. We don't know what accomplishes more. We don't know. Only Hashem would know what is more valuable.
If we have a clear mitzvah to make a bracha,
right,
and the other one is a mitzvah, but it's not, then it makes you, lets you know. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? If it's not so clear, then isn't it obvious which one is more valuable?
No. And I'll tell you why. According to Chassidus, it's just the opposite. There's even in Kitzur Shonoch it says there's one pasuk that the whole Torah is put into that pasuk. Okay, there's a pasuk that says b'chol drachecha da'ehu, in all your ways you should know God. There's another pasuk that says, not a mission in Pirkei Avos, kol ma'asecha l'shem shemayim, all your actions should be for the sake of heaven. Okay. B'chol drachecha do'eyu means, in all your ways, you should know Him. Know God. Right? It doesn't say mitzvahs. Drachecha, Chassidus interprets it to mean, your ways, your things. Eating, sleeping, business, sports, school. B'chol drachecha, in all your ways, not Hashem's ways. Not in mitzvahs. And Chassidus explains that because it's not a mitzvah, in a certain respect, the elevation of business to Kedusha, school to Kedusha, whatever it may be, eating with it, is in a higher level than even a mitzvah. Why? Because now you're elevating something lower than the mitzvah status. Certain things are mitzvah status. Certain objects, Hashem said, you do a mitzvah with these objects. Right? So that itself puts it on a certain plateau. Here we're talking about not even things that Hashem made holy. Things that you do, eating, sleeping, school, whatever it may be, business. Then you're elevating that, knowing Hashem in that. Chassidus explains it's even a greater level than a mitzvah. Even though you're not even making a bracha on it. So Chassidus explains, in certain respects, elevating business or talent that a person may have, in a certain respect, is even on a higher level than even doing a mitzvah. Because you're elevating a lower aspect of the world, a part of the world that's not even a mitzvah. And that's becoming elevated. That's why Chassidus explains, no matter what we do, see, even in non-Hasidic literature, okay, you'll find that, you know, Yiddishkeit is not a religion. You practice 3 days a year, or only lahavdil in a church, or in a synagogue, or you practice even once a week. Yiddishkeit is a way of life that surrounds and encompasses the person 24/7 for 120 years. Therefore, Torah tells us how to go to sleep at night, how to wake up in the morning, how to go to the bathroom, how to eat, how to conduct business, how to do everything, because the Torah is telling you, I want you to make your business holy, I want you to make your eating holy. This is a Hasidic concept, by the way. Because in the non-Hasidic concept, there's no concept of making your eating holy or your business holy. Not to the extent that Chassidus explains that is revealing godliness into the even a lower level of world than a mitzvah might accomplish. So whatever we do is actually serving Hashem. And therefore, coming back to that point, if a person has a certain talent that God gave them, why did Hashem give that person that talent? Because Hashem wants that person to elevate that aspect, art, music, or whatever it may be, to somebody else. It's not their job. Therefore, if you're not going to utilize it to the fullest extent, in a positive way, you are not revealing godliness in the talent that He created. So you're wasting something Hashem created, which is not good. Hashem doesn't want us to waste anything. Okay.